Hey folks, here OS Reviews. You're watching our video review of the very cool S6001. This is an unlocked GSM World phone that is also the San Diego-based company's flagship model. It comes with a 6-inch IPS panel that has a 720p HD resolution, some touch to turn on gestures, in addition to a laminated display, which means that the distance between the screen, the LCD, as well as the glass is quite minimal. In terms of specifications, we're talking about a MediaTek 1.3GHz quad-core CPU, 1GB of RAM, which is on the lower side of the spectrum. You have 8GB of built-in flash storage, expandable via a microSD card behind the back cover. There's also room for a 2,300mAh capacity battery, which is also a little bit small for a 6-inch phone. With that being said, at 8mm slim, this is also one of the thinnest phablets we've ever tested. And doing a quick comparison with something like the LG G Flex, you can quickly notice the difference both in the size as well as in the price, because the G Flex is almost $600 unlocked, whereas the S6001 is again only $200 brand new. As an unlocked GSM World phone, you can take it anywhere and when you're traveling and still pop in a SIM card and it will work. It takes both a micro SIM and a full-size SIM. On the rear, you'll find access to a 13.0 megapixel autofocus enabled camera with an LED flash, whereas on the front, there is a 3 megapixel camera for taking selfies as well as Skype and WeChat for video chatting. Otherwise, the phone comes in 3 color iterations. We have a gold version here, it also comes in an interesting pink as well as black, and the box actually includes a hard shell case which is quite useful and a bundled headphone set which only offers so-so audio quality. Taking a closer look at the design of the unit, again we were highly impressed by how thin this phone is. So the low price point juxtaposes the high build quality to create something of excellent value. The sides of the phone are also constructed out of metal, so it feels nice when you hold it and use it in your hands. The bottom features the microphone hole, and on the sides you have access to a volume rocker which is crafted out of metal as well. The top features ports for the headphone 3.5mm jack, which you can see is nearly the entire thickness of the phone. There's also room for a micro USB port for charging. Fully charging this phone takes about 2 hours to complete. On the other side, you have access to a power on-off switch, which is tactile, responsive, and also crafted out of metal for enhanced endurance. And on the back, you have access to the speaker grille, which is a little bit muffled, and because you'll be turning the phone over when listening to music by setting it on a desk, it isn't as good as a front-facing speaker. With that being said, overall we're fans of the design. There's also a very comfortable texture on the actual back plate, which makes the phone easy to hold and grip without the need for an added silicone case. Behind the back cover, you have access to the battery and the 2 SIM card slots, which you need to remove the battery to first access. Now, as aforementioned, there are a few gestures on top of this phone, but otherwise you have a very vanilla build of Android 4.4.2 KitKat, which is excellent because you can customize the phone with your own favorite applications, widgets, and games. To turn on the phone's display, there are several gestures you can use. You can double tap 2 times, which is relatively responsive and mimics the experience you would get on some LG flagship phones. You can also go directly into the main home screen UI by sliding from the bottom of the screen to the top, and that launches you again into the home screen. It's also pretty nice and easy to use. It's quite similar to the experience you'll find on some Sharp flagship phones. Otherwise, battery life on this phone is one of the weakest links overall because it only lasted us roughly 1 day before we needed to recharge it. In terms of call quality, it's pleasant but not the strongest either. With that being said, the microphone is relatively close to your mouth, so the speech is actually pretty recognizable. The earpiece on the top is rather loud, so if you're talking in a marketplace or even outdoors, your speakers will definitely be able to hear what's going on. And the audio quality could be a little bit stronger, but overall we were pleased with the experience of the call quality. Reception was strong when we tested it on T-Mobile and AT&T's networks, and depending on your location, you can get up to 4G connectivity, which is excellent. Otherwise, you have to rely on 3G connectivity. Taking a closer look at the display, it's an extremely bright and vibrant panel. Again, with IPS displays in general, you don't have any issues in terms of viewing angles. That's the case here. With a laminated panel, the screen is easily the star of the show. Touchscreen sensitivity could be slightly improved, but overall we were pleased with the experience that you'll find on here. It's comparable to some of Xiaomi's phones, and overall it does a decent job of navigating around with your fingers. You can see there's very little lag on here in terms of main operation, and playing back some basic games as well as browsing the web will also be handled nicely by the phone's processor and also RAM. Now if you plan on playing graphically intensive games or multitasking a lot, it's definitely going to slow down and you'll notice some delay in the background, because at the end of the day, a MediaTek processor is definitely not as powerful as a Snapdragon model. With that being said, for most basic users and at only $200, I think you'll be pleased with the performance. The drag-down notification drawer is the same you'll find on most Android 4.4 KitKat phones. You can see the time and date information. You can also tap on and hold on the home key there to open your current list of applications. You can also drag down using 2 fingers to open and close the different wireless options, such as Wi-Fi, Bluetooth, your GPS, your rotation for the screen, and also casting the screen using Wi-Fi. And those things are pretty easy to program and to use. Taking a look at the web browsing experience first, I'm going to turn on Wi-Fi and take a look at how that works. I found that generally it was a pleasing experience. There's Flash that you'll find on this particular browser as well. So you are able to view videos directly using the stock browser, which is excellent. You can also use Chrome. So if I tap on Chrome over here, I have the New York Times loaded, and you can see it does a good job with complex pages. The New York Times is typically a benchmark of a very complex site with a ton of Flash elements and pictures, and it's going to take a few seconds for everything to load, but pinch to zoom gestures are generally smooth. Text will automatically reflow itself whenever you're scanning or going around the page, and so web browsing is definitely pleasing, as you would expect with a 6-inch display. It's everything is very vivid, easy to see, and if you're reading a lot, it's going to be a nice display to interact with in general. Taking a look at some other things you can do with this phone, such as YouTube. So here we have the clip loaded, and I'm going to tap on the play key there. I can also rotate the screen to have it launch into the full screen mode. So as you can see, playing back videos in general is definitely a pleasing experience, just because everything is bright, vibrant, the screen is the star of the show, and in terms of video streaming and video scrubbing, you get a pretty good experience over YouTube. I can also tap and kind of go back into a different part of the video. And overall, again, if you're planning on watching YouTube videos or watching videos online, this is a nice phone to do that, because it does a pretty good job of playing back your clips using the display, which is excellent in terms of clarity and the saturation. Taking a look at some other applications that you can use this phone for, we're going to check out a few basic games to show you how that experience works out. I have Tanks uploaded here. Tanks is a fairly graphically intensive game, I would say. You can see there's a slight amount of lag that will occur if I have a few applications open in the background, but overall, it does a pretty good job. I'm going to resume my previous game. You can see that the speaker is relatively loud, although it's a slightly tinny in the background. Let's turn down the volume there and retry this particular level. And the screen is definitely sensitive enough for you to interact with it and to use it for playing back your games. And you can definitely see that it's a pretty enjoyable experience if you plan on using it for gaming. The screen is nice and wide. You can attach any peripherals like built-in gaming pads, and that works nicely. In terms of specifications, again, we have Bluetooth 4.0 enabled. There's also the ability for you to use Wi-Fi, B, G, and N. And again, there is that GPS on board. So gameplay in general, again, the frame rates are pretty nice and smooth. Depends on, again, how many apps you have open in the background. And if you're not using any more, I would recommend closing them down to make the phone a bit more zippier and faster. Taking a look at the camera next, we were generally pleased with the experience. It also doesn't do too well under darker environments, but it does a decent job at capturing macro shots, which I was kind of surprised with. So if you do want to capture your food, if you're a blogger, it's a nice camera to do for those purposes. For example, I have a magazine over here. I'm going to tap once to focus on my subject, and then click over here. You can see that it's pretty fast to react and to capture a shot. I can go through many of the different settings in the very top. There is a beautify mode to capture your face and reduce any acne or any pimples. There's also ones that you can set for different filters. There's a panorama mode, which is pretty cool. And there's also the ability to switch into the front-facing camera, which actually has a pretty decent sensor as well. A lot of front-facing cameras on unlocked phones tend to be very dark, and you can't really see your face unless you're in a super well-lit environment. But this phone does a good job even in darker situations for the front-facing camera. And finally, there's an HDR mode, which I found to be a little bit iffy in terms of it works nicely for landscape shots, but if you're really up close, you have to hold extremely still, and sometimes it creates a little bit of a fuzzy result, but it definitely improves the image quality overall. Pressing on settings here, you can turn on GPS for geotagging of your photos, you can change your resolution, you can change the color effects, the scenes, a self-timer, and face detection, and everything works generally pretty nicely. Currently, there are a few apps that are being updated in the background, such as YouTube, and this is making the phone slightly more sluggish than normal, as you can see there. There's also a proximity sensor on the very front, which will automatically dim the display once you place the phone next to your ear when you're calling someone. Taking a look at our captured results, you can see that it's pretty lucid to pinch in and out, colors are well saturated, and they're well balanced. It doesn't offer the greatest detail in the world, but I think it's more than going to suffice for basic casual users. It's certainly going to replace a basic digital point-and-shoot camera relatively nicely. So in terms of camera, I would say it's a decent one, not the best I've seen, but at 13 megapixels, it's an impressive aspect for a phone that retails for only $200. Otherwise, taking a look at some other applications on here, there's access to the common Google services, including Chrome, Drive, and Gmail, and there's even a file manager that's been built in by the manufacturer for you to see what's on your micro SD card. There's also a FM radio if you have a headphone plugged in that works nicely, and you have access to Facebook as well as Twitter that are pre-installed, and you have Google Photos, the Play Store for thousands of free applications that you might want to download. There's Hangouts, navigation and maps for turn-by-turn GPS directions, although you do need to have access to the internet first. And there's news, Picasa tools, that's what the Google Play would look like on the phone here, with the games, the movies that you can check out. Some other apps that are kind of noteworthy is there is an included torch app that has been pre-installed, so it allows you to use the LED on the back as a flashlight, which I think is pretty cool. You can see what's happening maybe in your house at night without having to search for the switch. It's relatively responsive. You also find it on some HTC and Samsung phones, and it works quite nicely. The only part of this phone has been customized by the manufacturer, I would say would be wallpapers, and you'll find access to some of very cool touches. These are some custom wallpapers that they kind of set up for you, and you have some more traditional ones near the back. They're all very vibrant and shows off the device's display to a nice extent, and you can customize it to your liking. There's also widgets that you can select through to drag them out. Look at the settings drawer, we have access to different things like the gesture sensing and the smart wake. So in terms of gesture sensing, we basically have the ability to slide through different pages by supporting the airwave function. So you can wave your hand in front of the camera, and that takes you to the next page in your gallery and allows you to take a picture, play your music, also unlock the phone as well. So as a brief demonstration, if I kind of wave my phone in front of the camera there when I'm opening up the app drawer there, as you can see, I can go on to the next page. It's relatively sensitive and easy to use. You can also use it to access things like the gallery when you're looking at your photos, and it's overall a nice function. I think it's pretty cool. It's not the most accurate, but you also find it on some of Samsung's flagship phones. So here on a $200 phablet, it's definitely a neat feature to play around with. Finally, for the smart wake, that was basically the double tap to wake, but there's also other things that you can do, like draw up to unlock, draw down to pause in music, switch to the next song while the display is off, and I currently have the C to browser and E to the C to the camera and E to the browser. Basically, if I have the phone off and I draw a C, you'll see that it's gonna notify that, and after a few seconds, it's gonna open up the camera. It works pretty nicely. You can also, again, use it for different alphabetical figures, such as E for the internet, I guess. And it takes a little bit of practice to get used to, but afterwards, it's a relatively fast and responsive experience. So overall, I would say that the Vericool S6001 is an ideal smartphone for only $200 because it's relatively inexpensive and delivers a stunning display. Performance could be a bit faster and the touchscreen responsiveness could be a bit higher, but again, at $200, it more than holds its own as a very nicely designed, extremely sleek and elegant smartphone. And overall, if you're on a budget, I would say this is a nice phablet to check out and to consider. It's unlocked, it has GSM, it's a quad-core processor underneath the hood, and again, that display is the main star of the show. To learn more information about the smartphone, be sure to read our full written review. This has been our video. Thank you for watching. Here at OS Reviews.